This audio is brought to you by State Farm agent Alicia Kozacek, your local agent and good neighbour. Alicia has got you covered with personalised service and reliable coverage for all your insurance needs. Call or stop by her office on Hart Street in Buffalo and see how she can help you save and protect what matters most to you. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.
To give a special hello to Councilman-elect Haskins and Representative-elect Connolly for being at the meeting tonight. So, welcome. Can I get an approval of the agenda as presented?
I would so move.
I'll second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Can I get an approval of the minutes for the December 3rd, 2024 regular meeting minutes?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Enter into a public hearing for a special use permit request, 66 West Angus.
Do you want to give them
a
summary. Hello, Brett Moore with Interstate Engineering, a planning consultant. This is in your B3 zoning district. You are required to have a special use permit for residential uses. The property is at 66 West Angus Street. It's currently used predominantly for mixed retail, commercial, office, and the owner sees more of an opportunity to have residential on the property. The land use plan emphasizes the need for additional units within the community, residential units within the community. This is not right on the Main Street district. Even if you go back to your downtown plan, it talks about having additional residential near to your downtown to support your downtown uses. So our recommendation is approval. This did go to the Planning and Zoning Commission, and they've recommended approval. And I'm happy to answer any of your questions if you have them.
Is there any public comment? Public comment. Public comment. Hearing no public comment, we'll exit out of the special use permit public hearing and we'll enter into Chapter 29, Article 3, Section 7.D Amendment. And that is, whereas the City of Buffalo, an ordinance amending Chapter 29, Article 3, Section 7.D of the Code of the City of Buffalo concerning the zoning code of the City of Buffalo, Wyoming, and providing for an effective date thereof. Short version, whereas the City of Buffalo wishes to accommodate development proposal for land newly annexed into the incorporated area of the City of Buffalo, Wyoming, the portion of the city code pertaining to annexation shall be revised to remove the requirement that newly annexed land receive the zoning designation of R1 low density residential by default. The City of Buffalo shall provide with the sole authority for determining an appropriate zoning designation for newly annexed land using the criteria and considerations as described in Section 1 of this ordinance. And I do have a really long copy if anybody would like to read it. Mr. Easy, can you add anything?
No, just the rundown is this is basically our old ordinance states that any incoming annexation will be given by default the R1 designation, which is single-family residential. This will give the city the opportunity to zone something coming in if it already has an existing structure or something on it. It can determine a different zoning classification right out of the gate for that property being annexed.
Any public comment? Public comment? Public comment? Do you have any public comment to
yes.
the to Chapter 9, Article 3, Section 7.D?
Yes.
How come you?
Carrie Aiken, Buffalo. So, what are the downsides and what are the upsides, especially for us here in Buffalo, for other Buffalo residents? I would like to see some discussion on this, more than just, we're going to do this. I would like to see some discussion on this. Will there be discussion on this?
We're having some right now.
Are we?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so I think this is a bad idea. I'm going to tell you why, and it's going to kind of be a little roundabout. Because down in Cheyenne, there was a gigantic data center approved that none of the residents knew about. Because apparently the mayor, and maybe perhaps all the city council, signed non-disclosure agreements with Microsoft to not reveal that this 960-acre gargantuan facility was going to go in, not only in Cheyenne, but next to a bunch of houses, ranches, things like that. So these people woke up one day and found out that their lives were going to be turned upside down. And their rights to protest this were taken away from them. So this could be used in the same way. I imagine that's not what the purpose is, but I would like discussion on this.
Well, the discussion for me is, if we annex in a piece of land and there's nothing on it, do we restrict that piece of land to single family housing only?
Well, it could be changed at the time it's annexed, correct? Even now? Is that right? I don't know.
I guess for one example, when we did annex in the Bighorn Co-op a couple of years ago, we annexed in, they came in as R1, then they had to go in and apply for
a different
it's another step right now. Currently you have to be annexed and you have to apply to change your zoning designation. So it's a two-step process. We're making it into a one-step process, basically. But it's still, as far as I know, maybe the planning the inspector can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe even during the annexation process, there are still public hearings and still opportunities for comment during that annexation. And I believe, and the annexations have to go through three readings of the city council. We're finalizing one annexation now that this is our third reading. It takes a month and a half. So there is opportunities there during the votes and during the preliminary work with the Planning and Zoning Commission for public comment as well.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. For projects that aren't residential, that have been potentially annexed in or working on being annexed in, has it been a lot of effort or costs or timing to them to get a different zoning?
Well, the process is...
It's longer.
It takes longer. And that can detour some industry, some development, some companies from not wanting to come here, creating jobs, creating a better life environment for families that would want to move here for that opportunity. So,
okay. All right. Thank you.
Can I comment on that? So even if there is an existing structure and we're bringing it in, our old ordinance says it's R1, so it's still there. It's still whatever it is. It's just existing non-conforming at that point. You're not changing what's coming in or what's there. It's just changing the zoning at the same time. So if you come in as R1, our ordinance says, well, you're R1 just because, well, whatever's there is still there. It's just now it's existing non-conforming to our ordinances for R1. And so this gives us a chance to write everything. And this isn't, we're not approving buildings by doing this. All buildings have to come in and be, does this fit the zoning? Does this fit where this is at? Is it zoned correctly for that building? So by doing this, you're not approving a certain type of building.
Okay. kind of loosening up the...
Correct.
Okay. To make it that process easier if that's needed.
Easier, yeah.
Okay.
On everybody, but the city still has the sole say in what the zoning is going to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Welcome.
Is there any other public comment? Public comment. Hearing none. We'll close out public hearing on Chapter 29, Article 3, Section 7.D Amendment. We will enter into the third public hearing for a planned unit development base camp garages. Let me explain that to the public. Sir.
Sure. Again, this is Brent. This is an application for PUD and a plat for what is called base camp garages. It is a project which will combine garage units with a higher end sort of intent. It has been recommended for approval from the planning board, and quite easier to show up on the screen this one, but it is kind of on the west side of town. It's Lot B, Buffalo West Edition. The applicant's Mark Swickard, and Mark Bedford is the engineer. And I can certainly answer any questions or provide more information on the project if you need it. Okay.
Is there any public comment? Public comment. Public comment. Hearing none. Exit out of the planned unit development and move on to unfinished business. Unfinished business, Ordinance 1419, third and final reading. An ordinance providing for the annexation of Pike Addition to the town of the city of Buffalo, Wyoming. Can I get a motion to approve Ordinance 1419 on its third and final reading?
I would. So moved that we approve it.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're done with unfinished business. Now, I'm honored to introduce our representative-elect for House District 40, Ms. Marilyn Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members. I just visited with Julie and said that I wanted to come before you before the session started just to kind of talk a little bit about what my committee will be and things like that. Some of the bills that are coming up that I think will be of interest. And also just to let you know that I'm 100% behind keeping direct distribution to these cities and towns and county. We need to do that. Another thing that I think will be of interest is that with the supplemental budget, there's a lot of talk out there about what's going to happen with the governor's letter and the request that the governor made and the different agencies are making. And one thing that I will keep an eye on is with the property tax issues that are out there, will the legislature be willing to backfill the cost to supplement the property tax refund programs? That's a lot of money. And there's discussion out there that maybe they'll want to fund that, maybe they won't. So I think that's something we've got to be really watchful on as far as providing services in the county and the city and our small towns, because that's where your funds come from. And so that's one that I'm pretty interested in. The new leadership in the House picks the committees that you'll be on, and the committee that they have put me on is Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources. And that's the only committee they put me on. Other representatives, a lot of times, are on two committees, but however they decide that, I don't know. But that's where I landed for this year. So I'll be working with that committee. Some of the interesting bills, I think, I don't know where they're going to assign some of these bills, but as far as wildlife, there's a couple of bills. One in particular that I think will create some pretty good discussion is a bill that came out of the thing when the guy in Daniels took the wolf, ran over the wolf, and then took the wolf into the bar. And it was a national thing that made the news, and people were really, really upset. So there's a bill that we'll be addressing that has to do with amending those predator, animal, predator law. I don't know how that's going to go, but I think there'll be quite a bit of discussion about that. There are a number of property tax bills being presented. I've visited with our assessor and other folks about those, and I don't know where that's all going to shake out, but there will be some more property tax bills in the works. There's one that I'm kind of keeping an eye on. It's more of a business property tax. So it's a sort of like a tangible property, personal tax. That's kind of what I'm looking at. I think there could be some work done on that as well as your regular ad valorem. So we'll see where that goes. I am sponsoring a bill for the Senior Center District. That bill will amend the existing law to say that the elections could be like 4 years, and then once that happens, it could potentially be not until the people want to put it back on the ballot. There's different processes for every district, special district, as far as elections and those kind of things. So we're trying to kind of clean that up and make it better for our senior center. That would be my main bill. There's some others that I'll probably end up co-sponsoring. I have co-sponsored with Representative Martha Lawley from Worland on a bill that she's bringing. It's for, she calls it age verification for websites with harmful material. And it's a bill to try to minimize young folks getting on websites that are not good for them, that has bad material in them. So I'm going to co-sponsor that. So another big one that we're going to see is the gun-free zone. That's going to come up. I'm hoping that we can maybe put some amendments on it to try to make it a little better. But I am of the mind that everything should, as much as possible, should be done on a local level. So I want the schools to be able to weigh into that. And if it's going to happen, then I want the school districts to be able to decide whether they want to have concealed carry in their buildings or not. So that's going to be a really big one. And then my question to you all is there, what do you have things that I need to be working on down there that I'm either not aware of or haven't been exposed to yet? I'll be thinking about that, and please let me know. I think the more we communicate back and forth, the better it will be for me.
The direct distribution is a huge one, not only for us, but our surrounding smaller communities, Claremont's, Casey's, that sort of thing. So. Mm-hmm.
Claremont's having a water issue with one of their wells, and have been for I don't know how long. I think clear back to 2016. So I've visited with them. I've been to the school districts and visited with each district. there are some things coming up in the school district that we'll need to really be paying attention to help with school funding. So I'm just here. If you need anything, let me know. Remind me.
Marilyn, what's the best way to contact you?
So my cell phone is a good one, 307-217-0345. And I actually got cards. So I could give you a card. But then it's marilyn.conley@wildledgeleg.gov. And so texting's good, phone calls are good, email. I'm not sure how it's going to work for me, you know, how best I'll be able to respond, but all three of them would be good, and I would just as soon talk to someone.
Can we yell, "Hey, Marilyn," over the galley?
Then do a whole email stream or something. So my goal is to be available to talk with anybody that needs to talk. And during the session, I imagine texting is probably a good thing. And if you have bills that you're monitoring and you have questions about or something that I can do down there, it moves pretty fast. I guess if we need to, Councilman Madden knows how it works. But anyway, that's how you can do it. And I'll still be around here until the middle of January, but anything comes up. And the other thing I'm keeping in mind, even though I'm not on that committee, is the rural health services, ambulances, keeping things. You got to figure out a way how to keep providing rural health. And it's huge. And I notice there's places that can't deliver babies anymore. And that's a, I have to go back to the old days. I don't know what we do.
I have to back up my ambulance.
We've got somebody right here that can deliver it. So anyway, I don't want to get too far off topic, but thank you. If you have questions, let me know.
Thank you for representing
us. Thank you,
Mayor. Ms. Conley, she's going to make history for us. The state's been in existence for 134 years, and Johnson County has been there all along, too. But this is the first time in all that years that was ever represented by a female in this position that she's going to be in. So,
all right. Thank you.
We broke the glass ceiling, Marilyn. Next on the agenda is the special use permit for 66 West Angus. Can I get a motion to approve the special use permit for 66 West Angus?
So moved.
I second it.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Next item on the agenda is Ordinance 1420, first reading. An ordinance amending Chapter 29, Article 3, Section 7.D of the Code of the City of Buffalo concerning the Zoning Code of the City of Buffalo, Wyoming, and providing for an effective date thereof. Can I get a motion to approve Ordinance 1420 on its first reading?
So moved.
I'll second.
I have a motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
And the next item, we're going to recommend that you continue that item. The applicant is still working on the DEQ approval, which he says is en route, but we didn't receive it by the time of today, and so the applicant knows that you're going to continue until your next meeting, so that's why I recommend your motion on the space campgrounds.
Yeah. On the recommendation of the planner, can I get a motion to continue the planned unit development for the base campgrounds?
I so move.
I'll second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Next item on the agenda, Mr. Michelina. Buffalo Golf Club.
in the last two tabs of the interviews. Okay. You can expand it on the screen.
Okay. Hello, Mr. Mayor, City Council. Thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to discuss the golf course with you. I'm Adam Michelina. I'm the president of the Buffalo Golf Club Board of Directors. First, before continuing, I would beg everyone to please approach this conversation with your guards down. Us coming in here is probably drastically overdue. I know we've come to some morning meetings and haven't really used this as an avenue to provide updates, but it's needed, and I think in the light of recent events, we wanted to make sure we came and chatted with you. So please, like I said, if we can have our guards down, have an open mind. I know those are difficult seats to sit in sometimes. I don't envy your positions, but I am very grateful for each one of you putting your name in the hat and doing the job, so thank you very much for that. I do want to discuss some recent events, pose some questions, but we're absolutely not here to fight or put anyone on blast. We're also not here to ask for any money. We're simply here to hopefully educate and brighten our relationship with the council and future councils, so again, please keep that in mind. So we sent a letter out last week. I hope everyone had a chance to review that. We wanted to get that out ahead of this meeting, just so you guys had some context, had some information. That letter, obviously, if you guys read it, had to do with how the course is funded, how it's not funded, and the profound economic impact and social impact Buffalo Golf Club has on Buffalo and Johnson County. I really hope the letter was educational and helpful. Hopefully it was eye-opening. Candidly, even for me, I was shocked to do some of the benchmarking we did and shocked by some of the numbers up here on this screen that we'll get into in a minute. Also, if anyone would like a copy of that letter, please email board@buffalowygolf.com and we'd be happy to share that. I do have a couple copies here if anyone needs one. Quickly, before I get into the highlights of the letter, I'd like to touch on what expedited the letter and the urgency of this conversation. Last month, you all voted to raise our proposed rent by 10,000% with no prior conversation, which was honestly a little frustrating and confusing, but a good opportunity for us to have this conversation now. This was after, and I did want to emphasize this wasn't mentioned at the last meeting or a couple meetings ago. This was after we, the Buffalo Golf Club, took the initiative to update our very dated and flawed lease agreements, both the liquor license lease agreement and the general lease agreement. The general lease hadn't been touched in 25 years. The liquor license lease was being treated like the general lease, and it didn't make sense. Neither of them were working well together. Both documents desperately needed updated and revamped so they could work together. The entire chore was done much more for your benefit than ours, honestly, in my opinion. The $10 rent wasn't even in the old, $10, but we've been paying zero, so 100,000% increase in our rent. But we did spend our time, our money, our resources to update those lease agreements with the attorney. We also provided those weeks before the November 19th meeting. And as always, strongly encouraged questions, comments, concerns. We heard nothing. And again, we're a little blindsided at the meeting. My question then to the council is, are you planning to raise the rent for your other nonprofit tenants? The YMCA, the Children's Center, the Senior Center, Child Development Center, Buffalo Trap and Ski Club, and anyone else I missed?
They'll be reviewed when their leases come up. I can't guarantee what this board or a future commission or council will do.
Okay. And that's what I suspected. I would strongly encourage you don't raise their rents either. you can check with any other city. I don't think we're doing it different than any others. City of Gillette, I think all their leases are a dollar. These are critical community resources and assets, and again, nonprofits that are just trying to make it and provide services to the community. So I'd strongly encourage you not to tinker with those rent payments as well. But with the conversations not even being had in those areas, I ask then, why is the golf course treated differently? What's the heartburn with the golf course? Why does city leadership continue to view the golf course negatively rather than praising the course and supporting possibly your most impactful asset you own? And I don't say this out of speculation. I've heard directly from the mouth sitting in front of me comments such as, I hate golf courses. I've heard that on a number of occasions. You can hate golf. A city should never hate a golf course. And I'll get into some of our benefits, but everyone should love the golf course. If you love the hotels, if you love the restaurants, if you love the gas stations, if you love a sustainable community, everyone should love the golf course, especially for what our taxpayers pay for our golf course, which is virtually nothing. So, but that has been a comment straight to my face, cheeky or not. After a few times of hearing it, it wears on you when we're out here volunteer board busting our butts to provide what we do for our community. We've also heard, why would we fund the golf course? Again, maybe a lack of education, maybe this is what's been needed. But the answer to that is you don't. Buffalo Golf Club is a nonprofit and operates from a balanced budget, relying mostly on our revenues to survive and to operate. Unlike most other municipal golf courses, Buffalo Golf Club receives no guaranteed budgeted financial support from the City of Buffalo. While most municipal courses are heavily subsidized by their local governments, over the years, BGC has saved the City of Buffalo millions of dollars compared to other municipalities that fund their courses through substantial taxpayer contributions. As I mentioned, we've received no general fund allocations. We all know that. And right now, we're able to survive without them. Luckily, I think very luckily to our taxpayers and to all of us. So we're proud of that. But doing some benchmarking, it's very unique for the state of Wyoming and for municipal golf courses in general across the country. If you can see up here, and I'll try to zoom in, we looked up, if we could find the budget online, it's on that list. Those are all the other municipal golf courses in Wyoming. Our rates, our daily fee rates, our membership rates, and more importantly, the right column is the budgeted general fund contributions for 2024-2025. There's 15 other municipal golf courses on that list. The average of those 15 is $400,405 that the city's budget for their golf courses, and that's net contributions. I provided links to all those budgets, so please do your own research if you want, but that's what most of these golf courses need to break even and to survive. Kendrick is one of many on this list. Kendrick Golf Course in Sheridan, they have $200,000 budgeted for this coming year that they're going to need from the city of Sheridan. At the end of the year, however much that ends up being, whatever deficit they have, the city of Sheridan writes that check. So sometimes it says $200,000, and sometimes they write a check for $240,000. It's been much higher in the past, and hopefully it continues to get lower. I mean, that's the goal for these golf courses, but the reality is most municipal golf courses need heavy subsidization by taxpayers. I guess either way, the top line, if you can't see, is Buffalo Golf Club, $0. As we go down the list, I won't do them all. Rock Springs, for this coming year, the city has budgeted $2.2 million. That is not, there's not a capital event in there that's throwing that off. Last year it was $1.8 million. You go down, $600,000, Torrington, Cheyenne, $583,000. There's Wright, Wyoming, a nine-hole golf course. The city provides $395,000 a year for them to operate. The list goes on and on. Again, I can provide this letter to anybody, but hopefully, again, an eye-opener for everybody. So again, no general fund allocations. We get no payroll or operational contributions. All BGC employees are our employees. They're not city employees. They do not get city benefits. All the equipment is ours, and our responsibility to pay for and insure sand, tools, chemicals, fuels, you know, rental carts, range balls, furniture, inventory. That all falls on our shoulders and our budget. So while we bring in significant tax, you know, contributions to sales tax, it's it goes out the door, and we're going to be in the red this year. We're going to be very close to breaking even, but we're not making money out there. Some years, and that and the goal, yes, that's the goal, and we'll continue to get there, but we will be in the red this year. Expenses are high. With expenses, our insurance. The city of Buffalo carried the insurance for our equipment forever, which we were very grateful for. The city took the insurance off of our equipment without telling us. We didn't find out for months that we didn't have any insurance on all of our equipment. Millions of dollars of equipment sitting in one building that if that would have burned down, we would have had to close the doors. We couldn't have done it. And so the point there, things happen. If you guys say, hey, that's your responsibility, that, we'll figure it out. We'll shoulder that additional cost. But there was no conversation, no heads up. And then we weren't even informed that it happened. We had to find out through the grapevine, the Buffalo telephone game, you know, months later that we were uninsured. So scary thought there, something would have happened. We also are in an aging facility that continues to nickel and dime our budget. At the same time, we're fundraising and trying to raise money to build you guys a new building, build the community a new building. Again, I say this to hopefully educate leadership and all taxpayers, but also to emphasize we're proud of what we provide this community at virtually no cost. We're proud of that number. We hope it's an eye-opener, but we're not sitting here saying we need $2.2 million like Rock Springs. You know, we generate significant sales tax revenue. We provide over 40 jobs. We offer essential recreation for all ages and background. It's not a stuffy country club out there. It's not, you know, contrary to popular belief, it's not a, you know, some, yeah, stuffy country club you can only be at if you have money and you got to wear a collar. No, we have people from all backgrounds, all walks of life, all ages, all genders, all skills and ability when it comes to golf. Luckily, that's not a requirement. And we our doors are open to everybody. You don't have to have a collared shirt on. You don't even have to have sleeves on most days. So we're a welcoming place. We do a lot for our youth, our veterans. We enhance the community aesthetics. We bring tens of thousands of visitors each year. We attract retirees and businesses to relocate here. We help retain current residents. I've lived here my whole life. I love this town. If our golf course went away tomorrow, I would probably move my family somewhere else within a couple months. Not being dramatic, I wouldn't move across the country, but I would move nearby where there's a nice golf course. That's how much this means to some people, and it's and people love it. We have over 400 members. 21,000 rounds of golf a year, which is incredible for a seasonal golf course in a town our size. We boost local industries. We host countless events for other businesses and other nonprofits to raise money. We provide year-round programming for veterans. We make substantial donations to the local school district. We help keep youth active and socially engaged. And again, we've raised hundreds of thousands of dollars to help build you and this community a new clubhouse and a learning center that would provide additional year-round recreation for our community. So what's the point? Where do we go from here? Would we love hundreds of thousands of dollars a year? Of course, we know that's not feasible. That's not why we're here. We're proud of what we're doing. for this community. And as a taxpayer, as taxpayers, we're blessed to have this municipal golf course be sustainable, and more importantly, self-sustainable. The city may need to look at investing in the course in the future, but in the meantime, we ask you to support the course, even if it's not financially. Help us advocate, be cheerleaders for us, a pat on the back, but take pride in the amazing community asset we have. Let's continue to work together to promote health and recreation and sustain the amazing economic driver that the city of Buffalo and Buffalo Golf Club has built. We just ask that you be positive, you get on board, you take a little interest in what's going on out there, because there's a lot of people in this town that care about it, and there's a lot of people in this town, and nearly every single one, I'd venture to say, that benefits from that golf course one way or the other. Support would be great, help any way you can would be great. Ultimately, we ask you just not to hurt us. Raising our rent hurts us. Canceling our insurance hurts us. Shutting off our water early without telling us hurts us. That's the minimum ask, but I think we can do a lot together. I think we can collaborate. I want this to be positive. I appreciate you guys having me be here, letting me be here, and I'll take any questions now if you have them.
Just out of curiosity, those golf courses that are funded by the city, how many of them actually have city employees around
those? A lot of those do have city employees where they are employed by the city. They have city benefits, and so that payroll number is included in some. I mentioned there's obviously a big caveat before that table was every city's model is a little different. So I didn't want to generalize anything, but yeah, a lot of those do include payroll.
So just for a little context, I've been a part of quite a bit of budgeting, and payroll eats up a huge portion of every budget.
And this is net. This is net on all of these. So anything that the revenue was backed out of all of the general fund contribution.
I'm not following you there. What do you mean?
So Rock Springs and their budget, their general fund contribution was $3 million. Not 2.2. They expect about 800,000 in revenue. That 2.2 is the net budgeted number.
So 800,000 is returned to the city.
Correct. And payrolls better be in that number for 2.2 million. I can tell you, Douglas. I could go down the list. There's a lot. Douglas is city employees. It varies. Sheridan is. That's not payroll included in there. That's the deficit. That's at the end of the year. What's it going to take out of our budget to break even with our expenses for the golf course, less our revenue for the golf course? But yes, good question.
And then can I get a little background on maybe Kevin can help us on the water shutoff? Well, I don't understand. I wasn't involved in any decisions to cut the water off from the golf course.
Yes, I don't know that there was any decision to shut the water off. We had a problem with our wrong water line, which in turn led to the water line being shut off, but nothing. It didn't affect just the golf course.
No, of course, and I will say that it wasn't. It was a surprise. It was unfortunate. It sounds like it was a perfect storm.
Yep.
This year.
Yep.
And so even if we can't get around some of that, just even the conversations, even if it's an emergency, like hey. Something I think, part went bad, and then I think you were doing the pond, redoing the pond. So I think it was getting shut down early anyways. It goes down a lot during the year, where when it's 100 degrees out, it's really detrimental. It was still 80 degrees in October when we didn't have water. So it set us back a long ways from how hard our superintendent worked this summer. That is not a knock on a decision made, and so I'm sorry if it came across that way. Just again, if we can be as proactive as we can,
and then I just would like to make a comment that I've heard many times that the golf course is actively raising funds to build a new clubhouse, mm-hmm. which I think we can all agree that is in desperate need of some repairs or replacement. But I don't recall, we have a month and a half of budget sessions, and I don't recall anyone ever coming in and proposing a deal to work with the city and work in conjunction with us. All I've heard about is fundraisers and how the city doesn't support it, but no one's come and directly worked with me to try to collaborate and try to get that clubhouse built.
Yeah, and I would say there's never, you know, we've never said you guys haven't supported the clubhouse. I mean, why, if we're going to raise the funds, there hasn't been a lack of support. I would say maybe there's been a lack of interest. Yes, we haven't come during budget season because we've been told it's not there. We get a call every year, and the calls have stopped coming the last couple of years of the Buffalo Master Plan, the five-year plan, and the clubhouse has been on that for 20 years. We get the call, what's the biggest need? Clubhouse, and if that sprinkler system ever goes down, that's going to cost a whole lot more than the clubhouse. Every year, it just gets pushed 1 year further on that master plan. And I guess in the last couple of years especially, the dialogue hasn't been there because when we started this process, it was very clear that there's not money for it in the general fund. We don't have money for it, but go, you know, knock your socks off.
I would say to that, there's never money for any project. And the only way to get those things moving forward is for us to come together. And I think this is a good step in the right direction.
Sure. Yeah.
But personally, I feel attacked, and I think it's unwarranted.
Well, I'm sorry you feel attacked. I will say we have had meetings with Wyoming Business Council where I know Travis Lawrence was involved when he was still on. There's been collaboration and things being done. So I don't know if you're just feeling attacked because of the clubhouse conversations or the whole thing. But I think, and that's why I said initially, in my opinion, I'm a taxpayer, I'm a user of this, but also I'm a volunteer that devotes a lot of time to this golf course's board. And I'm passionate about it, but I get how this can come across. If you take the ego down and you remember that you're representing the people that pay for you and the taxpayers, again, you can hate golf. That should speak for itself. This is year in and year out with what that costs those communities, hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's cost the taxpayers virtually nothing for a long, long time. It's not in the budget because it's never had to be in the budget. So we just ask, I mean, I would have been thrilled to come in here and just say, hey, gosh, that was interesting, that was a good read, learned a lot of stuff, thanks for what you do. That would have been the ultimate goal for us as a golf board. So I apologize if you feel attacked, if anyone feels attacked, that's not the point. The point is to get the facts out, and if any of you knew how other golf courses operate compared to ours before this came out, I would be very, I'd be very surprised. So,
who is on the golf board?
Myself. We've got quite a few here: Sandy Dondi, Brett McCoy, Jason Camino, John Taylor. Who are we missing? Barb Umminger, Bill Bonatowski, Barb Hodgson. And so we have a board of seven right now. We have a great staff in place. We've worked very hard to. A lot of time and resources to bring, you know, we have our golf professional from New Jersey, their family relocated here. He could probably pick any golf course in the country and chose Buffalo because it's Buffalo, which is, it's a cool story on its own. He would be here tonight, but he's teaching a golf class for Sheridan College. We're in the schools doing free programming for third, fourth, and fifth graders at no charge. And the list goes on, and I don't want to keep beating a dead horse, but again, the intent was not for anyone to feel attacked. If you feel that way, you know, hopefully if you take your city council shoes off and look in the mirror, I hope some of this resonates as a taxpayer and a community member, and that's all we're asking. Okay. Any other questions?
Thanks for the information.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to me, guys.
Next item on the agenda is permit for construction debris removal, ACED Inc., DBA Services. Can I get a motion to approve the permit for construction debris removal from ACED Inc., DBA Job Site Services?
I was so moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion to second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? clerk, please. Next item on the agenda is the annual renewal for the Buffalo Athletic Club. Can I get a motion to approve the contract? I will start off with this. It was a benefit that we offered to our employees a year ago. It was asked how many employees utilize the athletic club, and if you look at the numbers that we got from the last time, folks, math doesn't add up. It was a benefit. I hate taking benefits away, but I hate wasting money even more. So what say you, council? Do I have a motion to approve the contract? Take a call for a motion. Contracts for lack of a motion. There we go. For some more fun stuff.
I'm sorry, Mayor. Can we get some more information on that?
It was a benefit that the employees, it's been set up for years now, for the employees to stay healthier. It was kind of a health initiative program. For the employees, they could go work out. It was a 24-hour facility. It worked for law enforcement. It worked for public works. It worked for admin staff. They could go work out. And the city paid the $350 a month. The employee paid for their card. And that was a benefit that we set up to offer our employees.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Next item on the agenda, Amendment 1, ARPA grant, LG 1015 Sunset Avenue, water and sewer lines, an additional $127,899 Office of the State Lands and Investment Board. That is money coming to us to help offset some of those costs. Can I get a motion to accept Amendment 1?
So moved.
I'll second.
Have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Excellent. I assume this is going to take care of the whole Sunset project then, right?
$127,000 is not going to take care of the whole Sunset project.
Spent a lot already, got it. So.
A lot of that was already. This is additional to what we already got.
I just wanted to zero out the project.
I don't believe so. Does it, Madam Clerk?
That one came in under our estimated project. The next one won't cover all of the meter replacement, but.
Okay.
Next item is Amendment 1, ARPA grant, WS 1017, remote read meter, water meter replacement citywide. An additional $54,403 from the Office of State Lands and Investment, ARPA funding. Can I get a motion to accept?
I would so move.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
A second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Here we go, folks. One more. Amendment 2, Buffalo Water Wells and Transmission 2019 project. This is for the additional water wells project that's been going on for a year or so. I say that sarcastically. Now, for an additional $284,064 from the Wyoming Water Development Commission, and that's the one that Mr. Silvernagle went down and rallied for and got us another $284,000. So can I get a motion to accept Amendment 2?
I would so move.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Reports, Mr. Kerr.
Mayor, Council, I have no further report.
No questions for me. Mr. Easy.
Mayor, Council, just a couple updates. As you might notice, Lowe's is wrapped up. They did get a CO there, so we'll check that one off. of our list.
I had an Arby's last night.
Yeah. Projects in progress, the ambulance barn, they've got all their underground plumbing in and pressure tested, so you should be seeing some concrete poured there in the next week. The Buffalo, or the 4-H Shooting Club, has sticks in the ground for their pole barn, so they're hard at it. Those are the two bigger ones we've got going right now. Other than that, contractor renewals are going good. I think we're about halfway through getting those renewals back, so we'll just continue to process those. Any questions?
Chief Bissett.
Mr. Mayor, Council, I have nothing new to report, but I'd like to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, and everyone please have a happy and safe New Year.
Kevin.
Mayor and Council, nothing to add. Questions?
Ms. Wren.
I'll follow suit. Mayor and Council, nothing to report, so happy to answer questions.
Mr. Planner, do you have anything?
No additional items to report.
Welcome.
Thanks.
To our fair vote. Are there any oral or written comments? Oral or written comments? Oral or written comments?
I read in the paper last week that there's issues continuing with the water quality, that the haloacetic acids are up again, or at least the average is still high. Is there anything else that can be done to bring that down other than what's being done already?
I think we're still flushing lines, aren't we?
I would just like to say that what went in the paper has to do with the running at, we're fine now. This has to do with the annual, the yearly average. So it has to do with what happened
Six months ago. Yeah, so right now we are, everything is fine. Okay, so it just looks,
it looks
odd
because it's an annual average.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Thank you very much, appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. I think that was the one hand that went up. So announcements. Department head meeting, January 7th at 7 a.m. City County meeting, January 21st at 7 a.m. City Council meetings, January 7th and 21st at 5 p.m. Planning and Zoning Board meeting, January 28th at 1 p.m. And city offices are closed December 24th in the afternoon, December 25th and January 1st. Council, do you have anything to bring before us?
Well, I think we need to thank John Camino for his work. This is his swan song tonight, I think. So. Thank you, John.
He's here. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it, too. I mean,
you're our hero, John. Anything else before the council? Hearing nothing, can I get an approval of the bills as presented?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And with that, can I get a motion to adjourn?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to adjourn.
I would move to adjourn.
I'll second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
This audio was brought to you by State Farm agent Alicia Kozacek, your location agent and good neighbor. This is 307 Net Info. Connecting community.